Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where our goal is to inform, inspire, and impact our listening audience. And we do this by featuring nonprofits who share all the great things that they're doing and how they're making a difference in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. Today, we'll be talking about the transformative power of the arts and the connection that it has with community health. My first guest today is Julianne Cook, Executive Director from DanceWorks, whose mission is to enhance joy, health, and creativity through dance. Welcome to the show today, Julianne.
Happy to be here, Jill.
Happy to have you. So let's start by you telling us about this mission of yours, what it means, and why it's so important to you.
Sure. I think at DanceWorks, we truly live out our mission and in our different programs in ways that we bring joy and health and creativity to the community. And for us, that vehicle is dance. So joy is so important to all of us and really helps us through all of the challenging moments that we might have in life. And on top of that, bringing some of the health benefits of dance is really, really important to us. And we see great impact from that. And then creativity. I think continuing to push ourselves and challenge ourselves both physically and mentally is really important for us to do across our three main pillars at DanceWorks. We have performance companies, we have studio classes for all ages, and then we bring dance out into the community in our outreach programs.
Well, and I love your mission because who doesn't want to benefit from joy, choosing joy?
Yeah.
I think we have to choose joy.
Yeah.
Being healthy and being creative. So I love that. What makes your performance companies unique, especially from an intergenerational aspect?
Sure. So we have four different performance companies. DanceWorks started in 1992 and a professional performance company was formed. So we are able to put on some of those professional dance performances in Milwaukee. We use different venues, lots of collaborations. So there's really exciting things about our professional company. And from that, we've also grown into other age groups of companies. So we have a youth company where there's some of our youth that are growing in their dance education, but also getting some performance opportunities. We have an apprentice company. So some people that are growing in their career, maybe working in other careers, but sort of dabbling in the dance world. And then our intergenerational company is really, really special, where we have dancers from all different ages working together, dancing together. They meet on a weekly basis. They have performances across the year. We have them perform with our professional company. Sometimes they have their own standalone concert. And what's really special about that group is that we're truly seeing the joy and the power of community through dance and coming together to create something, be creative, and share some of their work, their ideas, their emotions, their feelings through dance, dance like storytelling. And those performances not only really put on a great show for the audiences, but it also is a really great opportunity for the dancers to be moving and creative.
Yeah, I was just going to say movement in addition to all those things, because I tell my mother, who's 90, you know, movement is your friend. And
yeah,
the more you move, the better you're going to feel. So, yeah, I agree 100% on that one. Well, how have you impacted Milwaukee's arts economy and the community fabric over the years?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that really comes back to some of our other pillars. So while our performance community, obviously, that impacts the cultural vibrancy of Milwaukee just by providing new dance work. We also have a concert series throughout the year where emerging and experienced choreographers can submit work and show work. So I think that that continues to push boundaries and bring people into dance performances that might not have been there before. But in addition to that, we have our outreach programming, which is really, really important to living out our mission, where we're bringing our dance classes and some performances out into the community. We're working in schools, we're working in senior living centers, we're working in different community places that we can bring a dance class, we can bring a performance and get people moving, get people really feeling the joy that comes from dance. And I think that that really has made such a huge impact in those places. In addition, we have studio classes. So if you're really inspired and want to get moving yourself, anyone, any age, any dance background, any background at all, really can come take our dance classes. So we have classes for youth starting at 2.5, 3 years old, all the way up to, I like to say, 83 years old.
Wow.
And so our youth classes are really, really popular and great ways to get kids moving, but also really getting a great dance education. And then I would say our 50 plus classes, or even our adult classes throughout the week, those ones get people moving for different reasons and at different points in their lives. Some of those classes, if you've been a dancer before and coming back as an adult, we have something for you. If you've never tried dance before, but you want to pick up tap at some point, or ballet or hip hop, and try something new, we've got classes that you can come and enjoy that community and that movement together. So those classes are really, really important to us. And we continue to build out some of those classes. And like I said, too, the 50 plus class, those are some of our most popular and definitely give the youth a run for their money with their energy throughout the week.
I think of Dick Van Dyke when you talk about that.
Sure.
Because he is an avid dancer, and he's what? I mean, he's either close to 100 or just over it, you know, just, and he's phenomenal.
Yeah.
And he talks about the importance of dance in his life. We love to share impact stories. Tell us what your dancers and the participants are saying.
Sure. I think some of our youth and the families that have found our studio and our youth classes, they feel like they've found a dance home. And maybe they've tried dance at other places, or maybe they're in other sports or activities. But the way that we structure our dance classes allows our students to really be immersed in the art form, but also be able to do other things. It's not as much of a schedule impact as some of the youth sports that are out there today. I know from my own kids that it can take over your schedule.
Yeah, that's for sure.
And so we offer that, and we want students to feel a part of that community and that they're truly getting a great education, but they're also able to have other interests and be a part of other things as well. So I think that that's really the impact for youth, is that you can find a dance home that doesn't take you on a whole nother journey that maybe you weren't ready to sign up your students for. Some of the impact stories for our adults, I hear from adults all the time that they've always wanted to dance and never could as a child, or maybe were too busy doing other things. And now they've started taking a dance class and it's really fun and exciting for them. They bring some friends and they're trying something new, picking up a new hobby. So we have a lot of students that share those types of stories. We also have a lot of students that, like I mentioned, danced when they were younger and now are coming back to dance. Maybe they have some more time in their schedule as adults, or they're just missing that feeling that you get in a dance class of that strong community and that movement and feeling like you're doing something really important for yourself. So we have a lot of adult students that come back to dance, and it's really something they look forward to each week. And then, like I said, too, our 50 plus community, we have some students that regularly come to class every week, whether it's our 50 plus ballet or our tap classes. They're really building a little community that I think is super important in today's world, and finding that place.
And connection, again, I think is so, so important. How can listeners help to share or get involved with your mission? And where is your your studio specifically, just so people have a frame of reference?
Sure. We are right downtown Milwaukee. We have our classes at MIAC, the Milwaukee Youth Arts Center. And those are classes for youth and our young at heart. I think getting involved is checking out our website. We definitely have tons to offer and ways to learn more about our programs, whether you want to try a studio class or you know someone that might want to find a dance home. We also have information about our outreach programs, and we're always looking for new schools or senior living centers.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. I think if you're a dancer or you aspire to be one, you got to check out DanceWorks. It's great. Next, we're going to get to speak with one of DanceWorks' 50-plus students who is researching various forms of art and how they can help people with various health challenges. So stay tuned to find out more after our short commercial break.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking in our next segment today with Dr. Alex Ng, who is one of the 50-plus students who participates at DanceWorks. Welcome to the show today, Dr. Alex.
Thank you, Jill. It's what a great opportunity to be here. And as to this 50-plus student, this is becoming quite the notorious distinction, I must add.
It's awesome to be known as that. That's great. Well, you don't look a day over 35. There you go. Yeah. I understand that you've done some fascinating research around MS and dance. So can you explain how ballroom dance, for example, serves as both art and exercise for people with MS?
Sure. Well, I'm sure Dr. Overdat will be able to talk more about this, but MS, or multiple sclerosis, is a disease of the nervous system, and it is highly prevalent in Wisconsin, believe it or not. I've joked that that's why I've chosen to do my career in Wisconsin, because so many people here have MS. Mm. And of course, I say that in jest, but
yeah,
but it's true. People can have symptoms ranging from impaired balance, fatigue, and weakness. So what we found with our dance is that, one, it actually serves as exercise. In one of my studies, we measured heart rate and what we call perceived exertion, and we found that through a normal course of typical social partnered ballroom dances, the heart rate gets up to a level that could be considered moderate exercise, or at least have an exercise intensity that we would expect to see health benefits.
Okay.
As far as art is concerned, to a certain degree, any dance has an artistic component to it. There's a lot of individual styles, whether it be in some type of a prescribed dance where moves are laid out for you, or whether it's a more freeform style, like more modern dance. But certainly people who have taken ballet, people with MS who have taken ballet, have talked about how it has allowed kind of a lot of artistic expression in their dance. And the same is true that we found in partner dance. There's a lot of individual expression, you know, moving with your partner, swaying to the music, and everyone has their own style.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
and also people consider it art. When we talk about dance afterwards, they say, oh yeah, I've always wanted to be more involved in the arts. So participants consider it art.
Yeah. Well, for sure. Can you tell us about what specific benefits you've seen in the participants physically, cognitively,
sure,
and or socially?
And I'll talk primarily about my studies. If I mention other studies, I'll be sure and mention that it's not from mine. But we have found improved balance. Again, this isn't people with MS. We found improved balance, improved endurance. We've seen, or anecdotally, there's been less depression, less feelings of loneliness. And what was surprising to us was we found an improved cognition. So using certain tests that we scientists use to measure cognition, we found that there has been an improved cognition. We were kind of surprised about this. But then we realized that when you dance, you're not just running on a treadmill or walking through the woods or riding a bicycle. You are reacting to movements from your partner. You're reacting to the music. You're trying not to bump into other people. You're trying not to step on your partner's feet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's what we call a dual task. So there's a cognitive component and a motor or physical component. And what we think is when both of these are going at the same time, we see improvements not only in the physical aspects, but also in the mental or cognitive aspects.
That's wonderful. Those are great, great benefits for everybody to experience. Certainly. Are your classes structured to be accessible for people with a wide range of physical abilities?
Yes. We kind of structure it for the middle range, and that would be people with mild to moderate, for lack of a better term, disability or movement impairments. And what's really interesting, particularly about dance, is with the same beat of music or the same rhythm of music, you can follow the beat in either a slower pattern or a faster pattern. So that allows people with different abilities to dance at the same time. Our instructor, Jessica, also has experience with wheelchair ball dance. So really, we're truly accessible, and we have people that are what we would call maybe asymptomatic, or they have very mild symptoms, and they're in there dancing with people who would ordinarily use a cane or a walker to move around.
I think that's really important because, for example, I'm thinking about my mother who has had a hip replacement.
Oh, yeah.
She's 90, so her cognition is not always the greatest. Sorry, Mom, but that is true. so if you have people there that can adapt or help the student mm-hmm. adapt to that, that's really great. Yeah. Well, how have participants and their caregivers responded to the class experience?
Well, that's a great question. It kind of overlaps with what we were just talking about, too, because one of the benefits of having a partner is that now you don't need to rely on a cane, a walker, or a hiking stick because you have your partner that's literally acting as an ambulatory aid. So the partner-dancer experience is very instrumental in the partner dance.
Oh yeah, I'd love to see that. I'd love to just be a fly on the wall. So I may just have to show up at one of these.
I think if not participate,
at least to just go watch.
Well, DanceWorks also has a ballroom dance, social ballroom for people without MS.
Nice,
but
nice.
You're certainly welcome to any of our classes.
Thank you. Well, do you have any other studies that you're working on that you'd like to share with us?
Actually, I do. We're just about to start a study on group singing for people with MS, and this will be in collaboration with Dr. Obadat. And between DanceWorks and also Dr. Obadat, we're also considering a more global arts approach to helping people not only with MS, but with anyone who could benefit from this. That is still in the works. But the group singing project, we'll be recruiting for subjects soon.
Okay. So if you like to sing, and they do have to have a diagnosis of MS, correct?
Yeah.
That's what you're specifically looking for in this group study. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that all sounds really fascinating, actually. I look forward to hearing more about your findings, Dr. Ng. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but stay tuned because when we return, we're going to learn about using art for rehab and healing purposes. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to MPC, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Dr. Obadat from the Medical College of Wisconsin, who has a particular interest in the arts as a rehab activity and also a healing activity, not only for the patient, but also for the healer. Welcome to the show today, Dr. Obadat.
Thank you for having me, Jill, and great to be here.
Glad that you're here. When you talk about art and healing, What exactly do you mean by that? Like, is this art therapy or is it something broader?
I think of it as a very broad concept. I think integrating art into our daily living is very important. Whether we are living with a neurological disease or not, is very important for us to integrate some sort of creativity into our life. And this is how we really employ art into the healing journey of patients living with various neurological diseases. My focus is multiple sclerosis and related disorders, but also it applies to any of the neurological or other chronic diseases people live with all their lives.
And then why does art or this process of creating art have such a powerful effect on the brain?
It is an engaging activity for the person. It is engaging for their brain, right? But also it is engaging for them as a holistic person. So it's very important for people to engage in such activities where there is focus, there is dialogue with oneself by expressing what we think about in our life and how can we express our thoughts or express, you know, events in our lives or express things about how we feel about living with, you know, something like multiple sclerosis. How do we express this in a creative way through arts, whether it's visual art, whether it's performing art, whether it's dance, as you know, you just heard about, but also sharing it with other people is very important. Not only creating it, but sharing it out and showing people what you're doing, I think is a big part of the healing process too.
Okay, well, can you give us specific examples of neurological conditions where art has shown benefits?
Yeah, so I love this question because I get to complain a little bit about the lack of research in this area of neurology and even in medicine and in humanities. So if I do a search on clinical trials or clinical studies that are being performed, for example, in multiple sclerosis, I find over 3,500 studies that are recruiting and only less than 5 studies are looking at forms of arts as healing and therapy out of over 3,500 studies. The same apply for other neurological diseases. So it's an area that is understudied. But I always would say, do we really need research so much to prove that art works and art is important for healing? Maybe not, but I think it is important to show data. So I would say there are some research done in multiple sclerosis and Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's. All of the studies that have been done have showed some sort of a benefit, whether it's a qualitative benefit or a quantitative benefit, whether it's even benefit on brain networks. So there is a very interesting network in our brains called the default mode network. And this is a network that is active when we are really focused. So if I am taking a walk in nature, my brain is active, right? I'm walking, but my brain is active. And I am busy with my internal self. I'm thinking about something. I am maybe reflecting on my life or reflecting on my day. The same network is activated during artwork and art making.
Okay.
And people who do create a lot of artwork, this action network can become stronger. So there's evidence for this using technology in studies. So there are something, but I think more to be done in this area.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, can you share a story or an example from your practice where art has made a difference for a patient?
Yeah, we have several examples, but we had a very young person who developed a very severe form of multiple sclerosis that needed to be hospitalized. And they couldn't move the arm, they couldn't move their legs, so was paralyzed in a hospital bed, could not do anything. And we, of course, provided the appropriate medical therapy for the person and all the care with the hospital staff and everything at Friedrich and Medical College of Wisconsin. But then we said, well, here's some, you know, pencil, here's some colors, here is a notebook, and try to draw back. That person was an artist before this happened, and then couldn't grasp a pencil because of this disease, and then slowly got back into being able to draw, paint, and then over the past few years, now you can look at that person, you wouldn't even tell that they have MS anymore. So they actually...
Isn't that wonderful?
It's amazing. So the medical, you know, treatment, but also the art integration into this was a big part of the rehabilitation.
Yeah. Well, do patients need to be artistic to do the work?
No, anyone is artistic. Everyone is creative somehow. Everyone is an artist. There's an artist in every one of us. So that's a very important thing. People say, oh, I cannot do anything. I'm like, if I can do it, you know, everyone can do it. So that's very important to tell people. Well,
I have to remember that because my brother is very talented artistically, and I'm saying that must have just skipped over me when they were dishing those talents out. But again, everybody's got their gifting in different areas.
You'll have it in your genes. Actually, there are studies that show that creativity is present in genes.
Very good. Yeah, so maybe one of my kids will have that. Right. Well, what about art affecting the emotional side of living with a neurological disorder?
Yeah, this is really, really important too, because when someone is living with neurological condition that we know that has no cure to date, the emotional support and engagement in living their life is very important. Because I always tell my patients, I say, don't focus on the disease. Focus on your life. Mm. Focus on things that you want to do. Focus on your dreams, what you want to achieve. So those type of activities, they're not only just an outlet for a person to reflect and express themselves, but also there are opportunity to actually socialize with other people, to go out. And I tell my patients, you show your artwork at galleries, go submit your artwork to be shown because we want to see it. You know, we have a symposium coming up. People will show their artwork. They will be able to share with their fellow, you know, patients and with us as people in their team to show the artwork. So, you know, having a symposium to educate, but also to show art and share all this creativity with other people is very, very important. So I think that helps people, you know, improve emotionally, engage, and then get to socialize with other people. And then, you know, show it that you can do it.
Yeah.
I would say, show me you can do it. I say, you know, bring your guitar back to the clinic and show me that you're able to play back your guitar. Mm. Because those dust on the guitar need to be removed and you need to use it.
Yeah. Well, I know when my mother was going through her cancer journey, one of the doctors said, your attitude is such a big part of your healing process. And unless you find some way to find joy, it's going to be difficult for you, you know? And I think for some people that's really hard, but if they can find that creative outlet, whatever it is, they'll be better for it, right? So if someone is listening and they have a neurological disorder or they care for someone who does, how can they start incorporating art into their daily life?
Just do it, I would say. Always, I would say, people ask me, you know, the other day I had one of my patients in my clinic. I said, well, you know, get some canvas and paint. And then she came after and she said, well, you know something? I decided I'm going to make jewelry with my daughter instead. And then she's so happy about it. She's like, I'm now doing an activity with my daughter. I am producing art. I'm very happy with that. I'm producing. And actually, I can tell just by talking to that person that they look better, they feel better, they actually looked healed, you know, from the neurological disease. And that's very important. So I would say to people, just do it.
Just do it. I think that's what, the Nike commercial, just do it?
Yeah, and exactly. And share it. Do it and share it. Because if you do it and you keep it and you don't share it and you don't talk about it, it takes away from some of the more benefits that you can get from creating art. Because if you do it, you show it to other people, you talk about it, then that gives you the full 360 experience of the healing, you know, power of art.
Okay. So if you're listening out there, do it and share it. Yeah, it's a two-part process there. So well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. But when we return, we're going to bring the entire group back together again. And they are going to share the ways that they're collaborating to bring these programs together for more people. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And in our last segment today, we're going to bring everyone back together again to have a discussion around how you all partner and collaborate to provide some of these great options for people in the area of dance and other art therapy. So let's start with you, Julianne. Can you share with us how DanceWorks is collaborating with Dr. Obadot and Dr. Ng, as well as other healthcare professionals, to expand innovative holistic arts programs that include dance, participatory art, visual arts, and beyond?
Sure. Yes, I think one of the most important things to DanceWorks is our collaborations, whether that's through other performing art groups or community groups. So collaboration is really, really important to us. And we're always thinking of ways to serve the community better and bring dance to more people. I think access and opportunity are very important to us, whether it's youth or adults. And so Dr. Ng is on our board, and we've been working with him for quite some time on some of our dance classes for people living with MS. And so we wanted to see what else we could do. What other styles? Do we start to do more with ballet? Do we start to do more with contemporary dance? And then the visual art piece, I think, was really, really intriguing to us because we also love the idea of sharing your art. Not only are you creating art for yourself and your expression and helping you to process things that you might be going through, but also sharing art. We really, really want people to share their dance. And so the visual art piece really came naturally. And I think trying to find ways to bring people to artwork, whether it's dance or visual arts, was really important to us. And I think these two art forms in particular are really accessible because even if you don't have a dance background or don't have an art background, you can move, you can pick up a pencil, you can pick up a paintbrush. So we want people to feel like they can jump in and start to really benefit from the creative process.
Okay. Well, Dr. Obadot, your proposed project brings together dance, visual art, and healthcare. So why do you think that this integration is so powerful for people living with MS?
Yeah, I think, you know, the combination of these forms of arts and the integration of them is not only going to really activate the brain in a great way and activate all these networks, but also is going to engage the person fully and immerse that person into this experience. We talked about, you know, before with the group here, we talked about can we even, you know, transform performing art and use performing art to generate visual art, or use visual art like patterns and movement in a painting to generate a dance. So can we actually combine the two and make them really complementary? Now, some people may want to do visual art separately. Some people may want to do performing art separately. But some people may want to combine both of them. And I think in any of these areas, that could be very beneficial. But integrating them is unique because now you're able to paint your movement, or you're able to move you move based on your pain take. So that's a kind of concept that we really wanted to integrate. And, you know, Julianne and Dr. Ng, really, we worked together on this. And we hope that we can get this up and running. Yeah.
Well, give us some examples then from your practice of how someone with MS may have benefited from an arts-based therapy.
Yeah. So people with multiple sclerosis often have some difficulty with movement, whether, you know, walking or even sometimes moving an arm or moving hand or fine motor movements, and sometimes even visual impairment and visual difficulties. And for people living with MS with such difficulties, sometimes you could bring in a form of movement that is appropriate for them. For example, if they cannot stand or walk, they could still move in the wheelchair. But what you could do is you could say that, okay, let's create a painting with you. That person will create a painting, maybe with help or maybe without help, and then look at this painting, reflect on it, think about it, and then delve deep into it. And then we want you to create a movement with your body that aligns with that painting or inspired by that painting. So if we're able to do something like this, then we're engaging the person fully into this experience. And then we are, in a way, helping with some rehabilitation, right? Because we're, you know, allowing for movement despite some difficulties. But if someone is able to fully move, even with multiple sclerosis, then we could also do the same thing, but maybe on a larger scale.
Yeah.
So, but we can integrate this for anyone, for any person.
Okay. Well, there's this idea called social prescriptions that's being talked about more and more, which is an approach to connect patients with appropriate local programs that aim to reduce loneliness or increase confidence and manage chronic conditions by leveraging the benefits of social connection and healthy lifestyle choices. Can you share how social prescriptions work and how you are involving healthcare providers in this effort?
Yes. Well, social prescriptions is starting to pick up a little bit more interest in the United States. It's a concept that's utilized probably a little bit more in the UK and even Canada. And what social prescription is a recognition by a healthcare provider, whether it be a primary care physician, a nurse, or some, or even a physical therapist or occupational therapist, that there's more, that their patient needs a little bit more. And this could be to combat loneliness. It could be to provide an artistic component. And so they would prescribe or strongly suggest. But I think prescription is the best term because it's literally, this is what I want you to do. I want you to sign up for this over 50s dance class at DanceWorks. Or I want you to sign up for this ballet-based movement class because you have MS, you used to be a dancer, or you want to learn how to dance. Sign up for this class. And just like you would take your medications, if it was prescribed, you would usually do what your doctor says. And there may even be some reporting mechanism where I want you to report back to me and tell me what you did and let me know how this happened. And I think the social part of the prescription comes from if you have some type of chronic disease or if you're over 50, maybe, I don't know, maybe you've just lost a partner, you're depressed. What's really important about the social prescription is the social part. So you're not going into a dance class to learn solo movement. You're getting in this class with other people. It's just like what Julianne mentioned earlier. There's a lot of community forming in this. The singing project that I mentioned earlier, it's going to be a group singing project. And we hope to build community through this as well. And as it turns out, a lot of our recruitment is going to be through social prescription that Dr. Obernat will help with.
Yeah, and to chime in into here, because I really love that concept in a way that we are recommending something beyond medications to our patients.
Yeah,
you know, we always kind of talk about, you know, medications and we can use those. Of course, they help a lot in some conditions, but also we forget often about other things in life. And I'll give you an example from art, but I'll give you an example not from art, but also to the concept of social prescription that Dr. Ng was talking about. So I have one person in my clinic who came in visit with me first time and living with multiple sclerosis for a long time and coming in because their doctor retired and they're transferring care to me. And I talk to the person, I say, what do you do in your free time? You know, you're retired. What do you do? And he said, I just sit at home. And I said, you don't go out, for example, to a health club to do some programs, maybe do some exercise? He's like, no, I used to go with my friend, but my friend passed away. And since he passed away, I'm not going at all. So I'm confined at home. So the son and daughter were in the room and I said, well, here's what we're going to do. You're going to make a new friend. You're going to go to that health club. And I'm going to need reporting. Every time you go, I need to learn. You're going to send me a message that you went. So that's what happened. And then that person became more engaged back and then able to do things and participate in community. And that was more for physical activity and exercise. But that's an example of social prescription.
Yeah.
The same I'd say, well, go get some canvas. get some actual paint. And then next time you come in my clinic, I want to see your painting. Or you're going to send me a picture of your painting through my chart. And some our nurses, sometimes they're like sitting there and they get a message with paintings. And they're like, what's happening here, Dr. Avila? I'm like, people are sending me what they did work. So I can now see. So closing the loop, as Dr. Eng said, is a very important concept, because you want to tell something and you want to really make sure you're also closing the loop on it by actually seeing the outcome of it. And that's very important.
Yeah. And I imagine that the role of caregivers and family members in this programming, similar to what you just talked about, is really big. Yeah. Do you plan to expand into other art forms like music? You talked about that singing group, Dr. Eng, or spoken word?
Well, theater arts has been studied, not necessarily in MS, but that can have a huge benefit, particularly in the social emotional end of things. I can think of, again, not knowing for sure, but I would imagine that poetry, joining a book group, you know, just to have, again, some camaraderie, reading, engaging the mind, being creative. So there's a lot of different aspects. So when we talk about arts, I think we're taking a very broad view. Although we have our specialties, we're really considering it from a larger perspective. Playing an instrument has already been mentioned in this conversation, and there's been studies that have shown that just listening to music, not even performing music, but listening to music is beneficial.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I listen to Caleb all the time, and let me tell you, that just really soothes my soul. It's good for me and for many people I know. But how do you envision this arts-based care model influencing broader healthcare practices?
Yeah, maybe I can start on this one. When we can integrate this into our life, whether we are living with a neurological disease or not, I think that concept is going to become really a powerful tool, not only to help healing, but also to prevent people from even developing some of the diseases that you can think about, mental illnesses, right? Mental diseases, like people with, you know, maybe depression or anxiety or post-traumatic stress disorder or other conditions where really those types of creative outlets are very helpful into finding yourself, into being able to express yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, lots of great things that are being discussed today, and we never have enough time to get to everything, as I often say. But if someone is listening and they want to support the movement in some way, what's the best way for them to do that?
I think definitely checking us out and looking at some of the programs that we're already offering, but also connecting with us. If you have other ways that we can network and bring some of these ideas to others, we really want to impact as many people as possible. So checking us out on our website and seeing all of the programs that we have to offer, and maybe there's something that fits your needs.
Okay.
And I would say the same thing. So find us, contact us. We at Fraser Medical College of Wisconsin, we have now our Wisconsin Institute of Neurosciences. And the main mission of the institute is to promote health and neurological health.
Okay. So the website is danceworksmke.org, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And where would people go if they want to connect with medical?
That would be the Medical College of Wisconsin website, so mcw.edu, and then search the Wisconsin Institute of Neurosciences and contact us directly for that too.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I want to thank all of you today, Julianne Cook from DanceWorks, Dr. Obadat, and Dr. Eng. Thank you for being here today and for sharing your passion for what you do in the world of dance and other art forms as they relate to better health and wellness for our community. Thank you for participating today. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out again directly to DanceWorks at danceworksmke.org and also to Fraidert and the Medical College. If you know of a great organization and people doing great work in our community, like our featured guests today, who you think would like to be featured themselves on the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. And if you'd like to learn more about our rich nonprofit community and the important work that they're doing right here in southeastern Wisconsin, I encourage you to tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about how and why these great organizations and people are making a difference. You can tune in to News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. And you can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, or you can now listen on demand on your favorite streaming platform. If you'd like to find a way to plug in and share your time, your talents, and or your resources by volunteering, donating, or advocating, I encourage you to first give some thought to how you want to do that. What are the specific gifts that you've been blessed with, and how can you share them? Once you define how you want to give back and pay it forward, then you can plug into the where. Align your giving goals with your gifts so you can be a blessing and then give a blessing, and you'll make more of an impact than you can ever imagine. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.